jet-lagged by his supersonic flight from Washington, Brumado paid no attention to the lines of tall apartment blocks and low gray clouds that stretched eastward toward the true steppe country of Russia. For more than an hour, the car sped along the wide concrete highway. Traffic thinned away until there was little more than the occasional massive tractor-trailer rig, diesel engine belching sooty exhaust plumes into the air. Past Kaliningrad they drove, past woods and lakes, and over a railroad crossing, heading towards Star City. The actual name of the community is Vyazny Gorodok, literally, Starry Town. But ever since the first cooperative Soviet-American space venture, the Apollo-Soyuz mission of 1975, a slight misinterpretation by a NASA translator turned it into Star City, and so it has been called by the Western media ever since. Once it had been a town, nothing more than a handful of apartment blocks and a dozen big concrete buildings that housed the Cosmonaut Training Center, deliberately placed in the barren emptiness between a thick pine forest and a scattering of small lakes. Now, as Alberto Brumado's car drove past the guard post at a perimeter fence, it had grown into a sizable city. Scientists and astronauts from all over the world trained here for Mars. The world's media focused their attention here. A true city had grown around the clear blue lakes. Homes for workers who served the training center, shops and open-air markets, and entertainment complexes. Close by the main gate of the training center itself stood the Space Museum, a gracefully sweeping concrete form that captured the spirit of flight. Brumado had learned the traveler's secret years earlier. Sleep whenever you can. Now, as the limousine pulled up to the main office building at the training center, he roused himself from his nap, ready to step out and face his responsibilities, alert, if not actually refreshed. Dr. Li Chengdu came almost loping down the front steps of the building on his long legs to greet Brumado and guide him to the office that the Russians had set aside for his use. Dr. Li was wearing an expensive-looking running suit of maroon and slate gray. The white pinstripe down the legs made him look even taller and leaner than usual. His face seemed strained, grayish, almost ill. Perhaps it's that maroon top, Brumado thought. It's not good for his coloring. He himself was still in his Washington clothes, a dark blue business suit. He had removed the tie and stuffed it into his jacket pocket hours earlier. The shirt was limp and wrinkled from his long trip. The office to which Lee escorted him was big enough to contain a broad, polished conference table, Brumado saw. Good. And its own lavatory. Even better. The second rule of the inveterate traveler, never pass a toilet without using it. 3 minutes later, his bladder emptied, his face washed, and his hair freshly combed, Brumado pulled out a chair from the middle of the conference table, ignoring the massive desk and the high-backed swivel chair behind it. Brumado felt he was here to help solve a sudden problem, not to impress others with the trappings of power. Besides, he told himself, I have no real power here, no authority over these men and women. My strength lies in moral persuasion, nothing more. Dr. Lee was pacing the office from the draped windows to the head of the conference table and back again, more nervous than Brumado had ever seen him.
Please sit here next to me, Brumado said mildly. It hurts my neck to look up at you.
Lee's thin, ascetic face looked startled momentarily, then apologetic. He took the chair next to Brumado's.
You seem very upset, Brumado said. What is wrong?
Lee drummed his long fingers on the tabletop before answering.
We seem to have a virtual mutiny on our hands, and your daughter, sir, is apparently the ringleader.
Johanna?
Once it became clear that Dinardo could not make the mission, your daughter, and others, demanded that Professor Hoffman be replaced as well.
Brumado felt confused. Johanna would never do such a thing, never.
I don't understand, he said. Your daughter and several other scientists here have refused to go on the mission if Hoffman is included. It is mutiny, pure and simple.
Mutiny? Brumado echoed, feeling dull, stupid, as if his brain could not grasp the meaning of Lee's words.
We cannot announce the final selections for the mission. We cannot begin transporting the scientific staff to the assembly station in orbit if they refuse to go.
Lee's voice was high and strained, nearly cracking. Brumado had never seen Lee like this, close to panic.
What can we do? Lee asked, raising his hands in a gesture of helplessness. We cannot tell Professor Hoffman that he has been removed from flight status because a cabal of his fellow scientists don't like him. What can we do?
Romato took in a deep breath, unconsciously trying to calm Lee by calming himself.
I think the first thing I should do is speak to my daughter.
Yes,
Lee said. Certainly.
He sprang up from the chair, all 6.5 feet of him, and nearly sprinted to the desk where the phone was. Brumado wormed out of his jacket and tossed it onto another chair. He was rolling up his shirt sleeves when Joanna stepped into the office. She, too, was wearing a softly comfortable running suit, butter yellow and muted orange. Brumado wondered idly what the Russians thought about this craze for American fashion.
I will leave the two of you alone, said Lee softly, nearly whispering.
He scurried from the room like a wisp of smoke wafted away on a strong breeze. Joanna came over to her father, bussed him on both cheeks, and sat in the chair that Lee had used earlier. Brumado studied her face. She looked serious, but not upset, more determined than fearful.
Dr. Lee tells me you are leading a mutiny among the scientists, Brumado found himself smiling at her as he said it. Not only did he find it difficult to believe such an outrageous story, but even if it were true, he could not be angry with his lovely daughter.
We took a vote last night, Johanna said in their native Brazilian Portuguese. Out of the 16 scientists scheduled to fly the mission, 11 will not go if Hoffman is included.
Brumado brushed his upper lip with a fingertip, a throwback to his youth when he had sported a luxuriant mustache.
The 16 includes Hoffman himself. Did he vote?
Johanna laughed.
No, of course not. We did not ask him.
Why?
Her father asked.
What is the reason for this?
She made a small sigh.
None of us really likes Hoffman. He is a very difficult personality. We feel that it would be impossible to work with him under the very close conditions of the mission.
But why wait until now? Why didn't you say something sooner?
We thought that Father DiNardo could keep Hoffman under control. Hoffman admired DiNardo, looked up to him. But the thought of having Hoffman without Father DiNardo, having him as the prime geologist for the mission, we realized we could not stand that. He would be insufferable, unbearable.
Brumado said nothing, thinking, I'm not going into space with them. I'm not going to be cooped up inside a spacecraft for nearly 2 years with someone I can't stand.
Besides, his daughter went on, Hoffman was chosen mainly for political reasons. You know that.
He is an excellent geologist,
Brumado replied absently, thinking now about the difficulties he was asking his daughter to face. 2 years in space, the stresses, the dangers.
There are other geologists who have gone through training with us, Joanna said, leaning slightly closer to her father.
O'Hara is from Australia. He can move up. And there is that Navajo mestizo, Waterman.
Brumado's attention suddenly focused on his daughter's eyes.
The man who stayed on at McMurdo to help your group through your Antarctic training.
And the following groups, yes, him.
And O'Hara.
Waterman has done extensive work on meteor impacts. He even found a Martian meteorite in Antarctica, although Hoffman took the credit for it.
Is he the man you want?
She pulled back again.
I think he is the best qualified person, isn't he?
And everyone seemed to get along with him very well.
But he's an American, Brumado muttered. The politicians don't want more Americans than Russians, or vice versa.
He's an American Indian, Papa. It's not really the same thing. And O'Hara will make the Australians happy.
The politicians wanted Hoffman to help represent Europe. We already have a Greek, a Pole, and a German to represent Europe, as well as an Englishman.
If Hoffman goes on a mission, there will be trouble, Joanna said firmly. His psychological profile is awful. We have tried to work with him, Papa. He is simply unbearable.
So you took a vote?
Yes.
We have decided. If Hoffman is chosen, there are at least 11 of us who will resign from the program immediately.
Again, Brumado fell silent. He did not know what to say, how to handle this situation.
Ask Anthony Reed, Joanna suggested. He has had more training in psychology than any of the others selected for the mission. It was his idea to take the vote.
Was it? Yes, I didn't do all this by myself, Papa.